Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Glory to God. We are calling the rest of this year a year of rebuilding, because God in his own grace and in his own mercy is doing a new thing with us. And this new thing that he wants to do with us is something that calls us to avail ourselves spiritually and physically. God has an agenda and a plan and a purpose for our community. He also has a plan, an agenda, and a purpose for us as individuals. So, he who is God, who is merciful, who has an agenda, we are just going to yield to his agenda. But there is no way in yielding to his agenda without putting things right. And so the book of Nehemiah will help us to learn certain things and to put certain things in our life right, spiritually and physically. Especially when I guess as you were coming today, when you looked out there, there's a whole transformation on the right hand side. We spoke to our artist in the house. How many of you noticed the work of art there on the right? Beautiful, right? Glory to God. Glory to God. So this the rest of this year is all going to be about rebuilding. We are going to grow spiritually because God has a purpose. And if that purpose is going to be fulfilled, we have to rebuild. And you know, West Hudson Christian Center, since I have come to join you here to worship God and to lead this congregation, I have listened to the testimonies and the stories of the past, whereby this church was a great church. This place was, we call it a Christian center for a reason, because it used to be a center where people came to receive God, to encounter God. Rest Housing Christian Center has had better days, but I'm telling you, I believe that better days, above better days, are coming in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And so with the sweat and the tears and the weeping and the prayer that our forefathers, our future leaders, our past leaders have put into building such a strong place for us, connecting us together, and even what Pastor Campbell was also doing, building a multicultural church, and that it is only beautiful in the eyes of God. And so I have come to support, rebuild that which is broken. And we are going to study from Nehemiah. We are not in a rush. We are not in a rush. We're going to take our time. And we are going to allow God to transform us spiritually. And so this time of me being here, it's all going to be us knowing God personally. And when we know God, this supreme God personally, we will fulfill his purpose. We will come back on the radar in this community. People will not drive past here and look at this building and say, oh wow, what a nice building, and go away. No, God is going to do something new in our community, and it's going to start with us. And so today we are starting our study on Nehemiah. And the Lord laid Nehemiah on my heart because Nehemiah plays, it is a book that teaches us a lot. It teaches us how to lead as individuals. It teaches us the grace and the mercies of God. It exposes us to the bigger agenda of God. It tells us how merciful God is to his people, and also how just God is. It tells us a lot and teaches us a lot as children of God how to live for God. And so we're going to spend this next few weeks studying on the book of Nehemiah. And when I believe that by the time we finish, God would have done something within us. Personal transformation is going to happen within us. And when this personal transformation happens corporately, it is also going to start showing amongst us. And then in our community, we are going to start putting things together. It's an awesome book, so allow yourself for God to bless you. Start studying it on your own at home. When we come to church, we will study it. We'll be praying. It's all going to be what God wants to do amongst us. And so when you come to this book, thank you. All right. And so in reading the passage, we're starting from Nehemiah chapter 1. And I'll call on Brother Rene. I've asked Brother Rene to read the passage for us. So let us ask Brother Rene to read the passage for us. Nehemiah chapter 1, please.
Praise God. You could just rise to read the word of God. Book of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. If you have it, just say amen, please. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. It came to pass in the month of Cheslev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and I have kept not and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from here and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now, these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king cupbearer. Praise God. Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you so much. Children of God, you may sit. Thank you so much. Glory to God. Glory to God. For some reason, I'm having technical problems here. But God is good. We'll still go ahead, right? We thank God. And so, as you read from this passage, you see how Nehemiah receives news about Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a man who was in Jerusalem, but his friends comes to visit, and as they come to visit, he asks about the people of Jerusalem and what's happening at Jerusalem, and they told him what was happening. And so I want to take a few minutes just to touch on the background of what's going on here. Jerusalem was a city that God chose to place himself. When you look through scriptures, the temple of Solomon was built in Jerusalem. It was a magnificent place. And a few weeks ago, I talked on how the city was awesome and the temple was awesome. And it was where the children of God went to encounter God. God chose to dwell among people from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was like the place where the children of God went to meet with God. It was a holy city for them. Not just a holy city, also where their high courts were. And so the city was very important in the life of the Israelites, the Jewish people. And as God spoke to them, God told them that if they disobey him, he would punish them. And part of the punishment, because children of God, the Israelites disobeyed God, God gave them into the hands of their enemies, the Babylonians. And so the Babylonians came, defeated the city, and basically deported almost all the inhabitants of Jerusalem into other lands. They took them to their land. So that is where you come across Daniel. He went into Esther is one of those people. All those times were in exile. The children of Israel were in exile. And so God, after 70 years, that's when you read about Daniel, where Daniel interceded and the breakthrough came through an angel. He realized that the promise, the prophecy was that after 7 years, God would return them back home. So he interceded. He went to God in prayer for 21 days. And so God, by his own grace and mercy, heard the people of Israel and he decided to send them back. So he sent, the first batch went under Zerubbabel, they went back home, and then the second batch went under Ezra, and then the third batch went under Nehemiah. And so now we by giving you the background, you get a picture of what's happening here. The holy city of God was in shambles. The first group that went tried, they worked hard and they rebuilt the temple of the Lord, but the city for years was not walled, the gates were down, and they tried to rebuild it, but they were stopped by their enemies. They still couldn't rebuild the gates and the walls of the city, because in those times, having gates and walls around a city said something. It brought security, it brought protection. A city that was not walled was seen as the backwaters. People can come in anyhow. People came in to steal whatever they wanted to steal. So the city was basically left defenseless. Anyone could come in and do what they want to do and leave. But this was a holy city for God. And so as I give you this background, we go back to the verse 1. When Nehemiah hears the news, it says that Nehemiah was in Shushan, the citadel. This tells us something about Nehemiah. For the Shushan was the capital of the Persian king, and it wasn't just the capital. The citadel was like the palace. That was where the king dwelled and gave instructions. And so immediately it tells us that Nehemiah wasn't just any other person. Nehemiah was a special person. He was a unique person even to the Persian king. You see, and when you hear this, it tells you something personally about Nehemiah, that even though he was a great man, he had a good position even as a Jew in a foreign land. He had a good position and didn't have any reason to care about what happened 800 miles away from where he was. He still had a heart for the things of God. He still had a heart for the things of God. You see, Nehemiah wanted to know what was happening in Jerusalem. Nehemiah wanted to know. You see, Psalms 137, 5 to 6 says, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy." You see, for Nehemiah, the way the writer of the psalmist felt is how Nehemiah felt. Even though he had a comfortable position in the foreign land, his heart with the people was with the people of God. His heart was after God's desires. His heart was where the things of God were happening. And so this tells us something, that as people of God, no matter where we are, who we are, what we do, we have to care about the things of God. We cannot forget who we are as children of God. And I'm telling you, we live in a day where it is easy to forget who you are as a child of God. We are challenged on all levels to live as though we were not children of God. And some of us have actually accepted to live this way, a life that is full of joy, a life that is freedom. And because we want certain kinds of things in life, we do not want to be bothered with that which matters to God. But it wasn't so with Nehemiah. Nehemiah cared about the things of God. Nehemiah cared about the things of God. The walls of Jerusalem, this is what the people that came told him. The walls of Jerusalem also broken down and its gates are burnt with fire. I've already told you that a city in those times without walls was left defenseless. And so Nehemiah, hearing this news, told him something. God's city, the holy city, is defenseless. Anyone could come in and do what they want to do. And which also then means that the temple was built, but it couldn't be decorated. They couldn't put all the precious things in the temple. Why? Because if they put it in and it is defenseless, people will come in and take what they want, right? So, nice temple, nice building, it was left defenseless. And it is so also today, as we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we are the temple of God, it is easy for us, if we take our focus of God's kind of defense, God's kind of shielding, to be open and defenseless. If we forget that Jesus Christ has come to die on the Calvary cross and he is the ultimate power, and our defense, our protection, our hope, and our covering and sovereign is from him, then we open ourselves to all sorts of things. And have you thought of why we have a lot of Christians these days that desires for the gifts of God, desires for the abilities of God, desires to live for God, but we can't live for God? The gifts of God are special gifts. They are unique. You see, we are the temple of God. So God decorates us with his abilities, his giftings, his powers, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us. And so when we leave ourselves defenseless, what happens? The enemy comes to take what he wants from us. If our hope and our trust is not in Jesus, and we are not resting on Jesus, we can't operate. We can't be beautiful for God. We are left defenseless. We are left defenseless. You see, no wonder the people lived in constant distress. In constant distress, reproach. Living only as survivors, God has more for us than to be mere survivors. Romans 8:37 says, God not only wants us to be conquerors, but more than conquerors through him who loves us. Do you see? God wants us to be more than conquerors. My mother-in-law's church in UK is called More Than Conquerors Ministry. Powerful ministry for God. We have to see ourselves that we are more than conquerors. We are not mere conquerors. Some Christians are okay the way they are. It's all right for us to come and be walking around there. And no, it's okay. Anything else, I don't want to know. But no, I'm not saying we should be covetous. No, I'm saying that desire for more of God in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't accept the norm. Don't accept what people tell you. Don't accept where people want to place you. Some people will try to tell you, hey, you are Spanish. This is what Spanish people are good for. No, don't accept it. Hey, you are African. This is what Africans are good for. Don't accept it. You are white. So this is what is good for you. No. Accept that which is from God for you. Desire what is from God for you. You are more than a conqueror. And so in this way, you do not also limit yourself to the trials and the temptations of the devil. You live a life that is above, that is supposed to be above that which the devil can do. You are more than a conqueror. You see, when you accept Jesus, you are a conqueror already. But it is not enough to be a conqueror. You have to be more than. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray that you will be more than in Jesus' name. You will go further. Our young adults will be learned. Their heads, when you see courses that people find it difficult to read, when you go to school and people, they are helping you, the counselors are helping you, and they start telling you, oh, this course is for certain grade people and that course is for certain grade people. Yes. Don't take it. Don't let them deceive you to take something that is mediocre because somebody told you. No, don't accept that. You need to pray and seek God's face for that which he wants for you. And as you press on and you push on into it, the more than conqueror spirit, the spirit of the living God, will push you to the front. He will make you travel. He will make you overcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't accept the norm. You see how Kenny, it's okay for people to just go into church and come out. Don't accept that people will come in here and go the same. No. Don't accept that our neighbors don't know God and we are okay. We come here and we worship and our neighbors are dying and going to hell. No. We have to conquer this community. No matter whatever demonic entity that is in control of this community, we, Kenny West Hudson Christian Center, has to be able to overcome that demonic entity. We are more than conquerors. Personally, you have to be a more than conqueror. If you are a husband and you don't know how to be a married man, God, by his own grace, can anoint you and give you the grace to be a married man. If you're a wife and you don't know how to be a wife, God by his own grace can make you more than who you think you are now. Look, we cannot accept what we have now. We cannot be comfortable with what we are going through now. Look around you and see how many empty seats are here. There was a time when our church had overflows. We have so many seats that we've packed in corners. Look at this big building. Dollars, thousands of dollars has been paid and is paid off. So the building belongs to us. We cannot accept the norm in our community. If there are other big churches that people go in for recreational purposes, not in our building. No. Over here, it shall be the house of prayer, where we seek God and encounter God. And so Nehemiah hears this and he sat down and wept. Look, what is happening within you when you walk through this city? What's going on in you? Nehemiah broke down. The news he heard, he couldn't stand on his feet. He just sat down and started weeping. Mourning. For months, this guy started weeping and praying and fasting before God. Right from the moment he heard the news. And research shows that this guy prayed for a whole 4 months. Look, it is not what is going on in this community. The way we are living our Christian life cannot win this community. We have to arise. We need to care about what is happening here. Children of God, we need to care and we need to have a heart that is praying, a heart that is seeking for God's will. We have to spend time in prayer, and that is why I've also declared that most of the things we are going to do here is going to be prayer, because without prayer we cannot take this city in Jesus' name. Without us sitting down and praying together, you see, there has to be the personal home prayers that you do. And there has to also be the corporate prayer that we do. We come together and we pray. We mourn and we weep and we cry and we seek God's face for this city. And we pray for chains to be broken. Look at how many addicted people are walking in. Look on this street alone, Kenny Avenue. How many liquor stores are here on our streets? How do we feel when we walk past those places? I bet some of, minuses in Jesus' name. I know Christians who Nicodemusly. When I say Nicodemus, secretly. You remember Nicodemus? He went to Jesus secretly. And so I have a word called Nicodemusly. Christians who do secret things, we go to the same place that unbelievers go. We need to pray. Which is why the men are going to come together praying. From April, we met, right? From April, we'll have every other Saturday, early morning prayers. Starting from Wednesdays, we are going to start afternoon prayers. If you are here, you don't go to work, you are at home, you are not doing anything, come out from 12 p.m. Let us pray on Wednesdays. We are also going to have night prayers, night vigils. I'm telling you, we are going ballistic with prayer. I'm not here. Look, by God's grace, if it comes down to tactics and skills and activities that we can do, I'm sure all of you here have so much we can write on this wall to the end of the roof. Things we can do to win this community. It's not going to be possible that way. We need to pray. You need to pray at home. You need to pray at home. You need to pray at home. And come here and let's pray and pray together. And we are going to go ballistic in prayer. We're going to seek God. We're going to break down before God. You see, all we need to do is break down and allow God to move and do his thing. I'm not into, hey, let us lay hands and pray. Let us, no, I'm not. Let people spend time with God. And you will see the Yahweh God, the Jehovah Rapha himself. By God's grace, I am who I am. I'm standing here because I valued personal time with the Father. Children of God, if you are here, you are a leader. You need to value personal time with God. If you are here, you are not a leader. You are whatever. Value personal time with God. God will come through in the most depressing times in your life. When you read the Psalms will be talking about depressing moments and hard times. And before you rest, he changes his language and he said, and help came for me. Children of God. God comes through when we break down before him. Don't be comfortable with what you see here. You see, the rebuilding that I'm declaring is not a rebuilding of painting this building and making it look nice. Yes, we will do that. But it first must start with us spiritually. If I want to go out and win an addict on the street, I need to deal with my own addictions. Many of us have secret lives that we are comfortable living with and we are not dealing with it. And we want to win others to God. How hypocrite. I remember in deliverance ministry, there was a young man, very anointed man of God. When we started praying, the power of God moved through him mightily. One day we were praying for a lady casting out a demon. He was late. And so while we were dealing with the demon, he came in and he came to join us. And when everyone went quiet, we were just listening to what the Spirit of God wants to do. He started dealing with the demon, attacking the demon. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And then the demon said to him, hey, you too, you are coming to cast me out. Did you forget where you came from? Where is that lady you were sleeping with last night? You see what the devil did? Exposed him. And so the deliverance minister said to him, go and wait outside. Children of God, let us not be secret. Let us not be comfortable. We are so eager to deal with other people's problems. And we can't deal with our own. What kind of Christians are we? The Lord Jesus says, remove the plaque in your eye before you go and try and remove somebody's plaque. When you sit on an airplane and you are listening to the health and safety regulations, they tell you when there is an emergency, wear your gas mask first before you even try to save your own baby. Are you wearing your gas mask? Church has become pity party. It's become a social gathering. We are not experiencing God anymore because we are okay with what we have. This is our church. I know a pastor that said, anybody that tells me this is our church, I was part of building this church, he will ask you, which part did you build? And when they say it, you say, okay, let's remove this part and give it to you. Take it home. We are caught up in this, we build, we did, we that, I am this, I am this, I want this in the house of God. We forget that Jesus is supposed to be the head of the church. And the things that matters to Jesus, we don't care about anymore. People are asking me, what is your vision? What is your plan? I can lay down the best plan for you. I'm telling you, UN. Do you know the UN's plans? It doesn't work. Heads of states, leaders with professional people, thinkers, they've sat down and written a whole resolution. Things we will do. It's still not working. It is not by might, my sisters and my brothers. It is by the Spirit of our living God. And when a child of God releases himself into the hands of the Holy Ghost, that is when you see the Holy Ghost moving and taking charge and dealing with situations. Nehemiah cared. Nehemiah cared about the things of God. Nehemiah cared about the things of God. He cared. What do you care about? Some of us are too good making our dollars. I am a nurse. I have to be there. I am a doctor. I have to be there. I tell you, as a pastor, the excuses I hear from people make me marvel sometimes. I'm not saying don't do your job or don't go about what you have to do. Some of us, our job has become all that we do. Even the unbelievers that work with us, we've forgotten that we are supposed to win them for Christ. The things of God don't matter to us anymore. But this man, it mattered to him, and he wept. And so the verse 4, look at Nehemiah's reaction to the news about Jerusalem. Okay, we've looked at that. We've looked at that. Glory to God. And so he prayed. And I want to say this. Nehemiah was prepared for this journey. All that you have gone through is a preparation for God to use you. And so you can't say, I don't have anything to give. We all have something to give. I just called the artist in this house and said, and I shared the view with them. Look at the beautiful thing they've done at the back. As you were coming in, I'm sure you saw it. We all have something to give. All of us, God has taken us through a process of preparing us to be leaders. Some of us have frontline leadership. Others have background leadership. The woman is a leader in the house. The man is a leader too. God has chosen to place the man over the woman. But the woman also leads affairs. The men, we are leaders in our community. You are a woman here. Everywhere you go, you are a leader. Young adults, youth here, you are leaders. You are the future of tomorrow. God is taking you through a process of preparation. That is why you need to go to school and study. Learn, give yourself to the understanding of the word of God and also pursuing the program that you are studying. It's all a process. Some of us are good learning practically. Others are good learning in the school system. However it is, God has given you something to give. And so you cannot be idle. You can use it for God. Nehemiah had an opportunity. His position was a good position. He had gone through a process of training to be a leader. And the work that God had for him to go and do, it needed a good leader. Do you see how they treated? Do you remember how they treated Moses? The Israelites, they complained, they murmured, and so this time God wants to build the walls of Jerusalem and the gates of Jerusalem, and he needs a leader that has some special skills. We need to work on the skills that God has given us and understand that it is for God's use, no matter what it is. there is a place for you. God has taken you all this preparation so that you will be useful, so that he will use you. He will use us in Jesus' name. He will use us. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He understood who he was praying to. He wasn't praying to some other. You see, today there are so many kinds of gods. But the only true God is the God of heaven. He understood that there is a supreme God and he has to submit and yield to this God. How submitted are we to the will of God for our lives? This God that we claim that we worship him, are we actually submitted to him? Many of us are calling on God, but we are quick to take our own action. You've asked God for something, he hasn't answered, but you are already doing what you want to do, right? And we say, I feel, excuse me. What do you feel? The devil can give you a feeling, I'm telling you. The devil can give you a feeling. I had an ex-girlfriend. I thought I had met my wife until I went to catch her with another man. I pray that none of us here will go through that feeling that I had. It broke me for days and for months and for weeks. But by God's grace, when the true woman came into my life, I knew that feeling I had for that girl is not a genuine feeling. Today, I am married with a loving woman who cares for me. Don't follow your feelings. The God of heaven, which God are we calling on? Some of us call on the God of Mercedes. The God of Lexus. The gods of... I don't want to go into cars. Some of us call on the God of football. When it is soccer, when it is game time, forget church. What are you worshiping? What are you calling upon? Who is your God? Where is the source of your God? Some of us believe in what our managers will do for us. And then when they tell us, I'm sorry, I can't promote you, we are broken. You see, all our trust is in man. But the word of God says, a fool puts his trust in a man. Human beings are very deceptive and trickery. I have seen all sorts of human beings on this earth. So I like to listen to people and watch people. People can be funny, but God is not a funny God. God is a serious God. God is a serious God. What he says he will do is what he does. You see, prayer will give you strength. This is Isaiah 40:31. Prayer will give you strength. When you wait on the Lord in prayer, he will renew your strength. How many of us here feel weak and tired and weary? West Hudson Christian Center, I know you are weak and tired and weary. And some of you are saying, what does this young man mean, rebuilding? I like what I have. I'm dying. My time is near. He's going to tell us, let's go out for evangelism and all these things. Yeah, I can't do this thing. Please, I know, I understand. But you know, in prayer, God will give you strength. He will renew you. He will refresh you. You'll be rejuvenated. There's been times I've been so tired and I can't do anything. And I just want to kneel by my bed and pray. Within a few minutes, I find somehow strength from the Lord and I pray for hours and hours and hours. And that guy who is supposed to come out so tired, I come out, people are like, man, you're looking fresh, you're looking nice. It is not me. It is the Holy Ghost. God gives strength. So wherever you are weak, rely on him. You are my hope. Hope like no other, reaching to me. You need to call on him. Tell him he's your hope. Be romantic with Jesus. Be romantic. Love him. When you can't do anything, just call on him. There's been times I've run into toilets in public. And I've run into toilet. The place is stinking. And I just knew. I don't care. I said, Lord. And doors just start opening. Pray. Pray. And so look at the verse 5 to 7. Nehemiah comes to God in humility. In humility. He started with, I pray, Lord, God of heaven. Humility begins by simply understanding there is a God enthroned in the heavens, and I am not him. Nehemiah recognized exactly who God is, Lord of heaven, great and awesome God who keeps your covenant and mercy with those you love. Do you see? He's so humble. Now, check this out. He said, please let your ear be attentive. Humility also understands my complete dependence on God. When Nehemiah desperately asked God to hear the prayer of your servant, let your ear be attentive to me, it reflects his complete dependence on the Lord. Only God could help, and if God would only hear, Nehemiah knew he would help him. If only God can hear, he would help him. The state you are in, it's only God. I'm telling you, nobody, if we pour all the olive oil in this world onto you, it can't solve it. But God can hear you and transform your situation. Whatever mess you are in, God can take you and make you new. However deep your hurt is, your wound is, whoever has hurt you, God can mend that wound. I told you about my ex-girlfriend. Today, me and my wife, we laugh when we mention her name. It's a laughter. God can take it. You remember Joseph, what Joseph went through, but in the end, he rejoiced and he was able to forgive his brothers. God can do something new with you. There's a song that says, do something new in my life, something new in my life, something new in my life. Oh Lord. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh God. We need to bring ourselves to that place. You can't solve it on your own. Leave it to Jesus. He confessed their sins. He confessed their sins. Many of us cannot confess our sins anymore. We confess our sins, but we create excuses for our sins. He saw himself as part of what had happened. He didn't take himself out. And I've heard a lot of people, even a lot of so-called intercessors, don't know how to intercede. It's all them. You are not a part of it. But he saw himself as one with these people. And as a church, we need to understand this principle. We are one. We do everything as one. Yesterday, I was correcting somebody here because the person said, oh, it is this person's thing. And I said, no, it's not that person's thing. It's us, our thing. We need to speak corporately here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I am this. There is so many divisions. Small divisions. Individual divisions. Do you think we can achieve with this kind of attitude? Even in the corporate world, they understand unity. And they use corporate language. And in the house of God, we do things on our own. Look at this. But Nehemiah saw himself as one. His blood is connected. He has a blood connection. And so he repented on behalf of his nation, on behalf of his people, my forefathers. And he didn't make an excuse. Some of us pray, Lord, I repent of this, but you know it is hard for me. Excuse me. No. If you have sinned, you have sinned. Ask for forgiveness. Don't add that. You know it's so difficult these days to live for you. Hello? You are excusing your sin. But Nehemiah does not excuse the sin. He didn't personally commit the sins that his forefathers had committed that led them to that state. But he still identified with the people. The word of God says that we are in this world, but we do not belong to this world. And so we need to care for the people of this world. And work together in bringing them into this kingdom of heaven that we are in. And so let us start praying for Kearney. It is not the people out there that we are praying for. No, I'm part of it. Lord, we need you. Forgive our sins. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Ask for forgiveness on behalf of Kearney. If it goes well for Kearney, it goes well for you too. You are part of it. For the well-being of the congregation here, if it goes well for your brother, it goes well for me. There is a wise saying that when you see your friend's beard caught with fire, fetch water and put it by yours. Which means that don't act as though you don't care about others, because you don't know when you will need others. You don't know. Humility identifies with the needy. We have to identify with the needy and weep together with the needy. The word of God says that Jesus moved with compassion. He healed. He saw the people suffering and he couldn't walk by them. Some of us are so eager to walk past people who are in need. I'm not talking about the person who is faking that he needs money from you. No. There is so much need in our community. Step out right now on the main street. You see, even here amongst us, as I sit down and I listen to people, I see where the need is. We need spiritual renewal. We need spiritual healing. We need emotional healing. Even right here, so those of us who call ourselves Christian, some of us are wounded. And no wonder when we open our mouth, we wound others. Wounded people hurt others. We wound others too. And so the healing has to happen with us here. It has to start with us here. Now look at the verse 8 to 10. Nehemiah comes to God, looking to God's promise. He started with, remember, this is a powerful way to come to God. Remind God of his own word. Remind him. You see, we as human beings, we don't like it when our children remind us of what we have said we would do for them. Sometimes we try to tell them, shush, quiet. But with God, that is what actually draws his attention to us. Remember your promise. He quoted Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 30. Remember your people. You said, you gave a promise. And so God had to listen to him. This is not doubt. It's the secret to great power in prayer. Most of the time, I've seen so many Christians who don't pray on the basis of the word of God. Many Christians, We pray, but we don't pray the word of God. We don't actually go through the word of God and look for passages that deal with the issues and the battles and the struggles that we are going through. We don't. And so we don't actually have anything to take to God. We just go, Lord, talk plenty and go. No. Strategic prayers tells you that there is a secret to how to pray. And so if you're looking for breakthrough in your prayers, you need to first know what God is saying about the situation. And go to God with what he's saying about the condition, the situation. Because God moves by his word. Nehemiah knew this secret. It tells you that Nehemiah had a deep relationship with God. Even though he was in a foreign land, a land that didn't worship God, didn't honor God, he had a personal understanding of who God was. If you return to me and keep my commandments and do them. Now you see, he is ready to himself bring himself in the presence of the Father. He said, if it's a conditional prayer, conditional, and he puts himself in that place, I am now willing to do something about it. Pastor Barnes shouldn't do something about it. I have to do something about it. What can I do in this matter? All of us need to get to that place. When we see a need to do something about it, not look for somebody to do it. Some of us like to look for ushers. Oh, I need an usher to do this. I need an usher to do that. What do you have your hands and legs for? What do you have them for? You've seen that the thing there is dirty. Just get up and wipe it. Oh, they're so dirty, they didn't even do it. We complain too. In the house of God. And we have the ability to do something about it. Some of us in our secular world, there is a way that we know how to do things. And when we come to the house of God, we expect that the level that we meet out there is met in the house of God. And so we sit there and we criticize. But the thing is, we don't bring the knowledge we have and say, hey, this is what I see. Maybe let's do this way. And that's Nehemiah there speaking. Lord, I see the needs. I see the struggle. I see the battles. If you will hear me, I will go and do something about it. He got involved. He got involved. In scripture, you see people who God came to. And God used mightily. But in the case of Nehemiah, he went to God. He went to God. We need to be people that go to God. Not people that God has to be seeking for all the time. And he says that if we refuse to worship him, he will call the stones and the fishes of the sea to worship him. And so the abilities that we have, everything he's made us to be, we need to desire to use it to glorify him. And when you have it and you are not using it, you see the need, you are not responding to it. As a church, you are not doing anybody, but you are doing yourself. Nehemiah's name is part of world history. You cannot mention great men and women in this world without mentioning the name of Nehemiah. The guy went to encourage those people, and the gates and the walls were built in 52 days. Years of years, that gate, that wall has been neglected. And it took him 52 days to rebuild it. Some of us have so much abilities and pastors are scrambling, doing everything on their own. Nehemiah is breaking down before God. Look at the verse 11. Nehemiah prays with a heart ready to do something. He wants to do something, man. What can you do? What can you do? What do you have to give to the Lord? What can you do? What do you have to give to the Lord? You see, we are coming to have communion. My sermon has come to an end. My sermon has come to an end. We are coming to have communion.